The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. This is Dr. Zudi Jasser.
If you can bear with me for a few minutes, I want to step back. Think out loud, if you will. And I think it really follows well from the conversations we were just having about being tough, recognizing that citizenship has meaning, has responsibility, has expectations, recognizing that individuals that commit acts that declare war on this country, the Faisal Husseins, regardless of how psychiatrically ill they might be, are also ideologues of radical militant Islamism and theocracy. How long have I been working at this? If you read my book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, I've been working in the communities from the few months I lasted at the Muslim Student Association at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at the age of 17 to the years of battle against the Islamists with now my name and picture near the top of the Council on American Islamic Relations, Islamophobia.org website with three or four paragraphs of complete fabricated nonsense written about me, but a small price to pay for the battle that we're waging. And you look at the progress we've made. I've talked to you about the growing Muslim reform movement, the volumes of work that have been done from my colleagues, not only my own chapters and articles and testimonies and speeches and large body of work, my father's translation of the Quran, and we proved the establishment that we're fighting, that the Islamist establishment dominates the vast, vast majority of the mosques who rejected our declaration, but they don't represent Muslims. They represent the active identity movement of Muslims, but the majority of Muslims don't go to mosques. The majority of Muslims are not in America part of identity organizations. They are doctors and lawyers and engineers and publishers and writers and artists and musicians who happen to be Muslim, not Muslims who demand to be Americans, but Americans who happen to be Muslim. And even having said all that, with my other colleagues, Ezra Nomani, an accomplished Wall Street Journal reporter, a author of many books, of many speeches, Rahil Raza, Tawfiq Hamid, all with large platforms. But still, it pales. Our work pales in comparison to the achievements of the Islamists, who came on the heels of billions of dollars, who came on the heels of the Saudis, of petro-Islam, and were handed fertile soil of a community, as all communities that circle the wagons when they come in to foreign lands and have now still been sort of possessed by identity politics. Most generations within one or two assimilate and begin to change, but because of the Islamist influence, it has been obstructing and impeding that assimilation process. But yet, the Islamists are not a majority. They may be a plurality, but they're not a majority of the Muslims in America, but yet that's hard to prove. So, having said all this, my point, I've talked about a lot of this at much more depth in previous podcasts and previous segments, but there's something that I was struck this week by, a particularly pensive moment in the doldrums of 120 degree heat and you're here in Arizona. And you wonder, is this hopeless? Is there no chance of deep reforms? I certainly get told that. I've been told that probably almost every day or a few times a week by folks from the right and from the left who say that they'd much rather work with peaceful, supposedly democratic Muslim Brotherhood, as Ambassador Benjamin testified, somehow imposing the Islamists as being the leaders of our community. I've also been told, as you know, by folks that Islam is one, that the Erdogan version, the Wahhabi version of Islam is the only Islam that I'm fabricating in Islam. Forget the linguistic understanding of the translations of the Quran that I learned and my father wrote, that I wrote about in my book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam. Forget all that. That doesn't matter. These are all simply one in a billion. So untrue. So untrue. But is it hopeless? How fast should reform be happening? We have a lot of support. I think one of the most beautiful things about being American is that the vast majority of people I run into and talk to are very positive. They're ready to change on a dime a sense of hopelessness that they had for a decade after 9/11, when they hear and see Muslims that are ready to take responsibility, to be contrite about the work we have not and need to do yet in the Islamic faith. But in those times of weakness, I have to admit to you, and I do admit this publicly, and people ask all the time, but I wanted to talk to you about it. I've never talked about it on this podcast, but I have in speeches. I've even mentioned it on TV a few times. It is frustrating. You do get hopeless and wonder, yeah, you know, I know people thank me behind the scenes, but are they really a majority? Are they going to wake up? You see now people saying the Syrian war is over. Assad won. I tell you, absolutely not. The kinetic parts of it may be, but the war is never over. The revolution did not start in March 2011. The revolution started immediately after Hafez Assad took power, his predecessor took power, immediately after the Ba'ath Party took over in 1963. Our families will tell you that. Now, thank God I was blessed with parents that decided, as much as they tried to change the regime in Syria, bring back democracy, it never worked. But they continued to push for freedom. The push will never stop. Maybe underground, it may be the battle will never give up. People of morality, of courage, of honesty, of humility will never give in to fascist dictatorships, especially to theocrats that tell them how to practice their faith. They will never give in. I will never give in. Can I produce for you auditoriums, convention halls, a million-man march of Muslims? Not yet. We need major advertising campaigns showing television ad after television ad of dust bunnies, whatever those things are called, flowing into the streets with no Muslims saying, where are you? Why aren't you marching in America to push back against the Muslim Brotherhood ideology dominating the community and organizations like the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, the Islamic Society of North America, the Islamic Circle of North America, on and on. Where are you? We need large campaigns like that. We need better polling about ideology to figure out where we are. But I would not be human if I did not, in a moment of weakness, commonly, frequently, admit that this gets lonely. Where are the Muslim voices? This gets pretty dang lonely. What are you afraid of? What's the legacy you're going to leave your kids? I know there's folks out there that agree with me, but your silence is deafening. And it can get hopeless. Sometimes you say, geez, you know, I just turned 50. What change? I can measure it. I'm a cup half full kind of guy. But sometimes the cup is half empty. And we have to acknowledge that. And, you know, I think ultimately you can only succeed when you realize where you failed, where you continue to fail, and where we will fail. And we have to continue to fail over and over until success, where we marginalize the theocrats and the dominant voice among Muslims is one of freedom and liberty, equality, of women's rights, of women's equality, of the end of anti-Semitism, the end of the abuse of the treatment in an inferior way of any minorities ends where the original schools of thought of Sharia begin to be marginalized and we begin to develop a new school of thought. Well, that's not, that new school of thought's not going to happen in my lifetime. But I do think a revolution, just as many have failed in the Middle East, I think they can succeed. A revolution can succeed in the minds of American Muslims. But it has to be about love of America. It has to be about love of liberty and rejection of all Islamic states. Is that happening? It's hard to measure. It's sadly, depressingly hard to measure. But it should be happening. And it's not. But hopefully it will be. I can only hope. Times of weakness will be hopeless. But just like that patient that you love that has a cancer, some survive, most survive, some don't, many don't. But we have to fight, that's all we have, until we have lost every breath in our body.
You're listening to Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser, the Blaze Radio Network.